Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:31 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 28th, and in the aftermath of the Trump tax plan being announced yesterday, the market was reasonably quiet. And in fact, if we look at, for example, the bond markets, then what we had, in fact, was some strength coming back in today following yesterday's weakness. And on the yield chart, that 2.4% level continues to hold. There is a progression of lower rally highs really evident since January, and until that's broken, we will not have evidence of a return to supply dominance. When we look at, for example, the total return on the 10-year future, that's calculated as if, on the assumption that one were to just buy 10-year Treasury futures and roll them over at the maturity on a continual basis. But this is simply a dot chart, so let's look at that on a weekly, and that will give us a candle chart. And what we now see is that it has returned to the mean. It's had a progression of higher reaction lows for most of this year, and it is above the trend mean, and the trend mean is actually turning upwards. So we're at an important juncture. There is an awfully large question here whether this entire formation from 2015 until now represents a large head and shoulders or type 3 top formation, and that would be confirmed with a break to new reaction lows, which would be somewhere in the region of about 2050. But in the meantime, at the very minimum, it's going to have to sustain a move below the trend mean, and because the bond markets were a bit firmer in here today, then it has bounced from the region of the trend mean, considering that it won't be updated until about midnight this evening on Bloomberg. Now, when we look at this, it's been one of the most consistent trends in history, and it has been going up in a pretty persistent manner for an awfully long time. So now it is an awfully big question. How much of this advance is it going to continue to hold in an environment where the Federal Reserve is no longer buying bonds and, in fact, is looking at reducing the size of its bond portfolio? There are an awful lot of bonds that need to be refinanced both next year and the year after, and that is a big portion of the reason why the Fed is now moving towards reducing the size of the balance sheet, because they're rather fearful of the market gaining or experiencing some indigestion from all of that maturing debt. And there's a big chunk of debt needs to be refinanced in 2019 as well. So that would suggest that the bond by I guess the rundown program of the balance sheet will probably be rolled into 2019 as well. But of course, that is on the assumption that it doesn't have a deleterious effect on stock markets. So when we look at the S&P 500, for example, it has been trending higher in a reasonably consistent manner, and it is holding the move above 2500. And as long as that remains the case, then this is a consistent trend, and a consistent trend is a trend in motion, and that means it should continue to do what it has been doing. So what has it been doing? Well, it has been ranging for approximately about 2 months, or well, 6 or 7 weeks at a time. Then it breaks upwards. Then it has an approximate pullback of less than 100 points, about 70 points, and then it moves up to new high ground. It advances, then it goes sideways for a couple of more months. Now we've just had a move upwards. I think it's questionable whether this move upwards is over. I think that there is potential for it to go on and move another 50 points. If we look at the advances, when the breakout happened in early February, we got a 100-point advance. When the breakout happened in June, we got about a 50-point advance. When it was about a similar margin of advance in July, we have just broken out. So the potential here is that we get up towards the 20-50-50 level before anyone really looks for the next pullback, and then that 2500 area should represent an area of support. So that's what we would expect if this is still a consistent trend, and the pattern such as it has been since November of last year persists. If it changes, it will be immediately obvious, because that is one of the beauties of looking at a consistent trend. When the consistency changes, it tells us that the imbalance between supply and demand that has generated the consistency of the move has also changed, and that is when we then need to reassess. And when, for example, we look at Europe, then the Euro Stoxx index has bounced impressively from the region of the trend mean. What I also think is rather important is that it had pulled back in a very measured fashion from that retest of the 2015 high. But I think it is worth considering that the Euro Stoxx is way below its peak from both 2000 and about 2007. So it has ample potential to rally back up towards the upper side of what is so far a 17-year range. And if we look at what has happened in terms of the Fed's impact on the S&P 500, well then we have to also consider that the ECB is still printing, that they have not yet really moved into tapering, that or the certainly their assistance accelerated in early 2017, and it has now gone back to trend. But eventually they will start to taper. But until they do, and we don't exactly know when that's likely to be, then the likelihood is that this massive monetary accommodation is going to have exactly the same impact on the EU economy as it did on the US economy, which has been to foment asset price inflation. We're already seeing real estate prices in Germany moving higher. There is certainly a real estate recovery going on in much of the rest of Europe. The economy is firing on all cylinders, and there's still a lot of unemployment. If the unemployment rate starts to fall in a meaningful way in Europe, well, then maybe then they'll start to think about tapering. But until they do, the chances are that the European stock market is likely to move up towards the upper side of that range and subsequently break out. And we know that if we look back at a large number of global indices that went sideways for decades, by and large, they have been breaking out in succession over the last 5 years. And the S&P 500 was certainly in the lead, and then the FTSE 100 broke out early this year, and it is also bouncing from the region of the trend mean. And the Nikkei has been ranging mostly below 20,000 for what feels like an awfully long time, and it is now sustaining this move above that 20,000 level. The last time it has been able to sustain a move above this level is practically it's an awfully long time ago, because every time it's got up to here since 1991, it has failed, and now it is back above this level. And Abe just dissolved Parliament today, and he's roundly expected to win this election. Quite whether he can succeed in improving on his position is another question, but the likelihood is that, and I think that it is a rather important point that the last time it failed at this level, it did not go down and make a new low, that it bounced from above 15,000, and that would suggest that even though it's highly volatile, that it's a consolidation in the region of a big round number in the upper side of the range, and the range just happens to be 27 years long. So that it just really helps to put into context just how long bear markets can persist for. And Taiwan is in a very similar situation, that it has already broken above the 10,000 level. Now it is pulling back in here today, but the bigger question is it going to find support in the region of the trend mean and that 10,000 level? The fact that Taiwan was one of the I guess one of the primary foreign beneficiaries of the Japanese bull market in the 1980s and in the early 1990s. The fact that it is now already breaking on the upside, may act as a bellwether for the Japanese economy. Then, when we look at India, India's stock market has been ranging around this 10,000 level for the last few months, and it has pulled back in here today. Now, the question is, will it find support in the region of the trend mean? And the likelihood is that it will. But when we look at the fact that when we think about the rupee, the RBI has been cutting interest rates and the US dollar has been rallying of late. So the rupee weakening above the trend below the trend mean and the dollar rallying is acting as a bit of a headwind for the Indian stock market. International investors tend to favor these markets where they can get currency market appreciation and capital market appreciation and pick up some yield along the way. And India's currency is integral to that argument in terms of what happens with the Indian market. So I don't think that the Indians particularly want to see another currency crisis. And the RBI has been cutting interest rates, and now I think the currency markets are beginning to take some notice of that when the dollar is unwinding its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. Now, both the euro and the pound were in mildly positive territory in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion. And when we look at this on a weekly basis, the dollar has certainly firmed from its low around the 91 level a couple of weeks ago, and it really does need to hold this week's gain if the potential for a reversion rally is to be given the benefit of the doubt. And what happens subsequently, then I think, if this is in fact a failed downside break, well, then that opens up the potential that it could go all the way back up and test 100. So what happens in the next couple of weeks in terms of the dollar could represent quite a significant short covering rally. And when we look at China, I anticipate that the A-share market is going to do nothing between now and the end of October. And what we're already starting to see is just a clampdown on everything that could be deemed to be a threat or a disruption in terms of the influence and importance of the Party Congress coming up on the 18th of October. And you're already starting to see that the VPNs that people use to access the internet outside the country are being shut down left and right. So that is, I think, an indication of just how important it is. And we know that there are going to be some significant changes. What it is weighing on is the H-share index, and that is now coming back towards this 10,000 level. When we look at it on that weekly basis, the progression of higher reaction lows has been rivetingly consistent, and we have this succession of ranges one above another, and the trend mean is now approaching the region of the upper side of the most recent one of those ranges. So we're coming back towards an area which could be an area of support. I think it is worth highlighting the fact that the China Enterprises Index, which is the H shares, and they have a yield of 3.8%, which has certainly come down, but the PE is 8.9, and there are not that many stock market indices have such low absolute valuations when we start to look around the world. And I think that it is also worth keeping a close eye on Australia. The index was in mildly positive territory in here today. This is uncharacteristically inert for what over the last decade has been quite a volatile index and has maintained an upward bias, but in a very inconsistent manner and has been rather difficult to deal with. So what happens right now, or indeed over the next few weeks, and whether it can continue to find support in the region of the trend mean, is going to be a big factor. And the Australian dollar is going to be an influence on that. Now, it did steady in here today from that 70 cent level, and that does represent the lower side of the range. If we look at this on a weekly basis, as long as it is sustaining the move above the trend mean, this looks like a first step above the base. And considering the fact that the commodity index, and I'm looking at the continuous commodity index because it's unweighted, then it spent a good part of the beginning of this year trending lower, and then it put in an impressive higher reaction low back in August. Now, it is right in the region of the trend mean, and it was a little bit weaker in here today, but I think that's this 400 level is a big one. I think it's perhaps even more important on this occasion than it would have been when it broke downwards back in June. We have the higher reaction low now, and if it could find support above 400 and rally again, well, then that would take us up to a new recovery high and potentially begin to suggest that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Then, when we look at the oil price, it rallied very impressively over the last 5 consecutive weeks, and now it is pausing around this $60 area on Brent crude. And that's a substantial rally that we've had from the middle of this year. And now we're getting some consolidation of that. But the most important fact is that it has broken the downward bias since early this year. And it is now at least feasible that we could have a consolidation in the region of the $60 area and it could break upwards. We are in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, so there is the potential for it to do better here. It's how well it holds on to the majority of these gains over the course of this consolidation will inform our opinion as to whether it can sustain that move above $60. What we certainly know is that oil companies are hedging at this particular price, so they can make money at $57 if they're hedging, and that means that there is potential supply that can come onto this market if they're hedging at this particular level. And gold prices have continued to hold this move below $1,300, and they were a little bit steadier in here today. They continue to unwind the overbought condition relative to the trend mean, but it had done most of it at this stage. So we're in an area where it's a potential area of support, but it is for the bulls to prove. We do need to see a clear upward dynamic that holds for more than a day, and that's not such a big ask. We're certainly back in an area of potential support, but not a great deal of evidence just yet that it is coming through. And palladium prices, which had got all the way back up towards the 1,000 level and have pulled back. Well, if we look at it on the weekly basis, it has been quite volatile and jerky, but it has held this very strong progression of higher reaction lows and has bounced from the region of the trend mean on successive occasions. It's come back to that $900 area and it has steadied. I think that the most likely scenario is that we are going to get some additional consolidation around these levels. I've seen an increasing number of headlines that are saying that copper prices are fundamentally oversupplied, but so far this reaction has been relatively similar size to the size of the reaction that we had for most of the beginning of this year, and it was up 5 cents in here today. So we're beginning to see at least some evidence of demand coming back in the short term. Of course, today's low will need to hold to confirm that we're back in a position of demand dominance. And when we look at zinc, which has been roundly characterized as the industrial commodity with the most bullish of the fundamentals, then what it has been doing is forming a, well, in fact, it has already broken out of a first step above that long base. As long as it is holding the 3,000 level, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And nickel prices, which have been very much a wallflower in terms of the recovery in industrial metals, have pulled back to that 10,000 level and at least paused. And 10,000 is a big psychological level. It's also coinciding with the region of the trend mean at the present moment. And if it can bounce from this area, then the argument that a meaningful low is in, and that the most likely scenario is that it will rally from here, will have gained further credence. And I think it is probably a good time to also to think about Bitcoin, because it is back above $4,000. It has bounced emphatically from that 3,000 level. And this is not uncharacteristic. It is incredibly volatile. And when but if we look at the consistency characteristics, then what we get are these incredible rallies, very sharp pullbacks, and then emphatic bounce backs. And we did have an emphatic bounce back from that 3,000 level, and now prices are moving higher. So that would have to change, that we would have to stop seeing emphatic bounce backs after these big pullbacks. And then that would suggest that there is supply dominance starting to come into this market. But until we see that, then this remains an incredibly impressive, incredibly volatile bull market, which is being characterized by waves of new buyers coming in. And that is the hallmark of any big bull market. And quite whether it is a bubble or not is probably beside the point, because it's almost certainly a bubble. But the bigger question about any bubble is whether it is going to burst anytime soon. And so far, there's not a great deal of evidence to support that. And even in China, where they clamped down on some of the exchanges, and they're not going to allow any additional ICOs, there is still this demand that is driving this market. So I think we are at an interesting juncture here, because if it holds this move above 4,000, then the likelihood is that this is a consolidation within the context of a much bigger bull market. And there is no logical limit to how high prices can go, just like there is no logical limit to how low prices can fall. So what is driving the market higher is waves of new demand coming in. And bull markets don't generally end because demand evaporates. They generally end when supply increases. So it would either require the people who are holding all this supply off the market to begin to put it back onto the market, or the use the or would have to have something that would change the demand profile. And because this is a very new market, either one could happen. So it is worth monitoring it for the consistency that we can observe. And so far, all the consistency characteristics that can be observed are still intact. So then that this is still a bull market environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.